This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome into the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Happy Saturday morning. Nice to have you aboard as we give the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Presented by our partners at Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie joins us live on the line this morning. Give us the news, Golf Doc. What's going on?
McIlroy, number one in the world. Good way to finish the year by that young man that's gone through, you know, the big change, live golf. He stayed with the, you know, the PGA Tour, and he's got, you know, he feels that his friends have betrayed him. They went the other way, but there's a lot of golf going on for this time of the year.
You know, there really is, Charlie. I mean, you know, this guy, he just seems, this guy Rory, he's just locked in, especially in the final rounds of golf tournaments. I mean, I feel that the ultimate preparation for the 2023 majors for Rory is what he's been able to do in some of these final rounds. We saw him, you know, four rounds of 67 or better at Congaree. He bested Scheffler with a final round 66 at the Tour Championship, and then shoots, you know, this run started really with that final round 62 at the RBC to win. So, you know, really bringing out that clutch gene, Rory is, Charlie.
And also, it was the disappointment at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. He had it in his hip pocket, and he let it get away. And you don't get that many chances to win a major at the home of golf at St. Andrews. So he's done himself proud. He's handling the pressures of being the spokesman for the PGA Tour. He's doing well.
Yeah, we'll get to more on Rory's year in review, and Rory had some words for the European Ryder Cup members who are now playing live, and you know he used the word betrayal. So we'll get into reviewing some of that. Charlie, another great piece of news this week: the PGA Tour really starting to look in how it can provide more college golfers with more opportunities starting next year, and there could be a direct route from college golf to the PGA Tour. Let me hear a quick thought on that.
Well, college golf today is the minor leagues for the PGA Tour. They're going to get all their players from the collegiate level. I mean, I would say 90% of that's going to come from the collegiates. So it's a good move, and we're growing the professional game very well.
No doubt, Charlie. Stay on the line. We'll catch you on the other side. We'll get into all of it right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here. And the scores from the Bermuda Championship, fairly low. Ben Crane in lead at 14-under, Monday qualifier. Aaron Baddeley in a tie for second at 13-under. And a couple other rookies in the mix. Seamus Power, PGA Tour winner last year, a top 50 player in the world. He's in the mix as well. Charlie, you know, you're playing a member tournament this weekend in the Houston area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm out enjoying golf, but I thought I'd still chime in to our show every Saturday morning. On the Gal Communications. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, no, but I, you know, give us a feel of what you got going on this weekend and what the current shape of your game is, because I got out there with you earlier this week, Charlie. You're, you know, hitting some nice draws out there, and I really like what I'm seeing out of your game.
Well, I appreciate that. You're being very kind to an old man, but I had an interesting round yesterday. It's the first time I ever topped a ball in competition. That comes with the my swing is not as oily as it used to be, and you try to hit shots that you shouldn't. It's just, you know, my advice to all senior golfers: just get one shot and just go with it. Just like in pitching, you know, Verlander should pitch, you know, stay with one pitch and forget about everything else. I tried to hit a couple of shots I shouldn't have, but I enjoyed it, and I'll be back again.
Beautiful, Charlie. Let's get to two, three headlines while I have you on the line. Number one, you know, let's start with Rory McIlroy recapturing world number one for the ninth time in his career, more than a decade after his debut in the top spot of the official world golf rankings. And let's just start with the feat in itself, Charlie, because only two other golfers have had a 10-year gap between their first appearance at world number one and their most recent stint in the position. And those two individuals were Tiger Woods and Greg Norman, two careers that you've been able to witness from start to finish.
Yes, yes, very, very interesting. You know, and you always compare them to Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and you compare what they did and what their persona is all about, and they are all, you know, had their own identity, and that shows the same thing here with the new generation. But Rory is a different kid. I mean, he's matured very well, and he's accepted certain responsibilities as number one, and so I'm very proud of Rory and what he's done in his career.
And, you know, I find it interesting that we've seen so many players who we have called great get to number one and simply never get back to that position. Jason Day, Luke Donald, Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka. You know, the fact is, I think very few golfers have the consistency and drive to actually stay at the top of the game, and obviously it's a very hard feat. Is that correct?
Well, I think the key word that you just mentioned was drive. You know, you really have to go every day of your life, you know, finding ways to hit the golf ball and staying with it, and you give up a lot of relationships because of it. So you got to keep that drive. And then once you achieve that, the ultimate, it's a letdown. It's just like what David Duval said when he won the Open Championship. And the next day he says, is that all there is? You know, it's just kind of a, you know, he thought it was going to be a time in his life. And it was just a letdown. So I think that's what they experienced in the number one category.
Yeah, and you know, it's compelling to look back at the 2021 Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. If you remember, Charlie, you know, where Rory was benched on Sunday for Team Europe because he was so lost over the state of his game. And, you know, I was looking back at some quotes from that Sunday, and I give him credit because he used those times of struggle in 2021 as a launch pad for the beginning of the second half of his career. And I want to run by a couple adjustments that he made. And number one, he added Brad Faxton to sharpen up his putting. And number two, he added your good friend to his team. He added Bob Rotella to establish a little bit more fortitude. Can you give me a comment on that?
Yes. I mean, anytime an intelligent kid like Rory and he's losing what he's doing, he's going to seek help. And the two guys that he got counsel from, Brad Faxton, there's not a better guy in the world about putting, about life. He's been through everything, Ryder Cup. So that really helped Rory a lot. And then, of course, Bob Rotella is the head man of the world. I hate to call him a shrink, but he puts everything in perspective. And I've been around Bob a lot, and he's helped me, but he's really helped Rory. And we need constant. Jack Nicklaus had his friends too. And although Jackie Burke always said it, he says, you know, my golf coach was Jack Daniels.
Well, Charlie, the question is, can Rory, you know, keep this momentum going long enough into the major championships of 2023? Because, you know, as you alluded to in the opening segment, he had the heartbreaker at St. Andrews. He did close with a, you know, final round 64 at the Masters last year, almost got Scheffler. But you know, what's it going to take to keep this momentum rolling into April?
Well, he just might win all four. I mean, he is the longest player on the PGA Tour. He's got his putting going. He's got his head on straight. So, I mean, it just, if he stays away from an injury, he's going to dominate. I mean, he's going to be the Nicklaus of 2023. He's got his team in line. He's ready to go.
Charlie, last thing before we get a word from Insperity from you. Rory also made a comment last week about some of the initial feelings that he had when former members of the successful European Ryder Cup team, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, Paul Casey, bolted to live. Rory said it was the first time in his life he felt betrayal. But Charlie, don't you think it's time for Rory to start looking, you know, at the next generation of Europeans who are going to carry that Ryder Cup team, who they're going to build that team around, rather than, you know, stress and fret over maybe some of the older members who might not make another European team?
Yeah, they wouldn't have won the American. You know, the last time they had a Ryder Cup, we killed them. So, you know, yes, you're right. He's got to be the Tony Jacklin. Tony Jacklin put the Ryder Cup on the map when he took charge, and he was the head of the Ryder Cup for three sessions. So that's what Rory's got to do with all the other things he's doing, and forget about those other guys. And he, you know, you got to expect that. You go one way, they go the other, and it's unfortunate that they're talking bad about each other, but life goes on.
Yeah, there's so many good, you know, Europeans on that team that they can build out the future with. Obviously, U.S. Open champion Matthew Fitzpatrick, and I just thought it was a little strange to use the word betrayal when I think, you know, betrayal, I think of Karl Malone leaving the Utah Jazz after 18 years to go try to win a championship with the Lakers. But, you know, they've played a lot of events with each other, so I understand that aspect. And then, of course, looking forward at captaincy, I'm sure Rory was looking forward to captain some of these teams with those guys. But 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, let's hear a word from your friends over at Insperity.
You know, just simply put, you know, during the recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above all the challenges. Insperity is ready to provide support and guidance, leading their clients to resources even before their clients have a chance to ask for. So if your business is not struggling, but you really want to grow it and you really want to get there and you need some help, you need that Bob Rotella, Insperity is the Bob Rotella of business, and small business especially, because they want business to really perform so the communities can prosper. Insperity is a company that was established in 1986 by four gentlemen that were really spot on with what they wanted to do, and the chairman especially, and how he treats people and how Insperity will treat its customers, because that is the way you succeed in life. So log on to Insperity.com, check them out, give them a call, let them come in and tell you what they really do, and you'll meet these people, and they're so, so kind and interested in helping your business. So Insperity is really the company of the ages.
Okay, Charlie, stay on the line. If you have some time, let's talk some college golf on the other side. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Last segment, we discussed Rory's ascent back to world number one. In case you missed that, you can find our podcast on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcast, or Spotify at the conclusion of today's show. Charlie, Bermuda Championship. We have a kind of a blast from the past here with Ben Crane. You know, he's on a sponsors exemption, 66-62 start. Aaron Baddeley, the Monday qualifier, you know, last one in 2016 at the Barbasol, 41 years old. So kind of a throwback going on out there at Port Royal.
Well, that's what happens, you know, when you have a tournament like this one here where all the greats are not playing, so everybody else gets to come and try to make a you know, money and win a tournament, and so on and so forth. And Ben Crane, who I really love as a person, but he's the slowest player in the world, but for him to shoot 62 is remarkable. The golf course, you know, is a good golf course. I was over there with Ankel, you know, for the Grand Slam when he won the Masters and so on and so forth. And the golf course is good, but without a 30-mile-an-hour wind, it really, you know, you're going to shoot lights out with these great players. And the conditions over in Bermuda are benign. So it's going to be a horse race down to the wire.
Yeah, with the exception of Crane and Baddeley, you have a lot of you know, guys who just received their PGA Tour cards, Robbie Shelton from Alabama, Ben Griffin, two-time All-American from North Carolina. A lot of guys, you know, trying to solidify their status for the spring because, Charlie, as we've talked about, the spring is, you know, it's essentially invitation-based to an extent. I mean, there's obviously some Monday qualifiers, but the way the new tour is heading with some guaranteed money going to each player, you know, some of these younger guys are out here and having to kind of solidify their status. But I second what you said on the golf course, Charlie. This is the second shortest golf course on tour, but you know the closing stretch with the I think the par 3 16th, you know, over the coming over the Atlantic, you know, it's a pretty solid golf course for television. Would you say?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Bermuda's beautiful. It's, you know, it's right in the middle of the ocean, and it has all the things that you want when you go to a resort, and it's a resort golf course. So, but you know, it's going to be a good tournament, and it's given good publicity to Bermuda, and everybody should go visit it. You know, just like the tournament in Mexico. So golf does many things for many people, and one thing it does for promotes good tourism.
No doubt. And Charlie, I want to get to a couple more things before I let you go here. The PGA Tour working towards offering new promotions to college golf players that would see the top-ranked senior in the PGA Tour University rankings receive full status on the PGA Tour following the conclusion of the NCAA spring season. And in addition, players ranked 2 through 10 on PGA Tour U rankings would earn full status on the Korn Ferry Tour. Now, the way the current system works, players who are ranked 1 through 5 on PGA Tour U have, you know, 3 months to play the back end of the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, after the conclusion of the NCAA season. What do you think about a potential direct route from college golf to the PGA Tour?
Well, it's got to happen. You know, the NFL takes advantage of the NCAA football program, and all their players come from the collegiate ranks because of the four-year training that they've had. And golf is going that same way. The NCAA being real, you know, recognize the value of golf and all the great programs that have been established. And, you know, you take guys like Scottie Scheffler, and way back when, Ben Crenshaw, Jack Nicklaus, Ohio State. You know, so the players that are coming out today, and this is for men and women, are really prepared. They're on television. They have world ranking. So it's just a continuation of growing the game, both professionally and through the amateur ranks of the NCAA.
Yeah, well said. You know, 11 of the top 13 players in the world right now are in their 20s. You know, the future of this game is clearly on the shoulders of the youth. And you know, because of that, I feel, Charlie, the PGA Tour needs to make this change fast, probably within the next year. Because, you know, I have to feel like, you know, some of these college players have seen the route that, you know, former Oklahoma State standout Eugenio Chikara has taken with the LIV. And, you know, obviously I've been a tough critic on LIV, but you have to look at this story, Charlie. Chikara forewent his senior year at Oklahoma State to join LIV and one win, and a couple tournaments later, you know, he's a $6 million made man, you know, and I understand he hasn't qualified for the majors and he's not eligible for world golf ranking points yet, but, you know, some of these young players could take the LIV money for 3 or 4 years and then take that cash and go to Q school. So it's an interesting concept, but I feel the PGA Tour needs to accelerate that process.
Well, I think they're going to do it in due time, and they've got so many other problems going on with LIV and litigation, and they've already stepped up and started the process. So it'll happen sooner than later.
Okay, Charlie, you know, appreciate you coming on, taking some time to spend with us. Hope you have a great member event out there. Go hit them straight. Go post a good number, Charlie.
Okay, no tops today. That's my goal.
There you go. That's Charlie Epps. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. And let me tell you a quick word from my friends over at the Swing Sound app, which you can find on the App Store or Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistency in their rhythm and tempo in the golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or you swing it too quick, especially under pressure. When you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, who we're going to have on again next week, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common, consistent rhythm when they swing the club, whether it's with your driver, irons, or putting. Good shots are a product of good rhythm. Putting is always a 1-2 tempo ratio, which you can find out more on the app. Whether you're fast like Brant Snedeker or smooth like Ben Crenshaw, Marius has done the research, and the putting tempo is always a 2-1 ratio, which is the exact same as a pendulum. You know, you could have in the full swing, it's a 3-1 ratio. You could have a tempo, you know, like an awkward tempo like a Jim Furyk, or a smooth tempo like Jordan Spieth. But both of them have that 3-1 ratio that gets the job done. Now, with the help of some of the best sound engineers around the world, Marius Filmotter has developed the Swing Sound app, which plays a consistent rhythmic sound that will help establish your swing tempo and master your golf performance. Simply download the Swing Sound app, put your headphones in if you have other players around you, and calibrate the rhythm that best fits your golf swing. Now, you might say, Will, how is this different from a common metronome, which most golfers are familiar with? The answer is Swing Sound is the only app in the world that uses audible golf technology to tap into your subconscious mind, so that when you aren't listening to the Swing Sound app, your tempo will feel like second nature. And the other feature of the Swing Sound app that I love is the audio that helps create your tempo. Most of these metronome apps play a rhythm that sounds like an alarm or a school bell. But Filmotter has worked with some of the best audio engineers in the world to create sounds that are comforting to your ear as you use the Swing Sound app to master your rhythm in your golf swing. So do yourself a favor, take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. Once again, that's the Swing Sound app on the App Store or Google Play. Really, you know, the action going on at Bermuda and next week at Mayakoba, these are two tournaments where, like Charlie said, you're not going to see the stars. The stars were at the Zozo Championship and the CJ Cup the last 2 weeks. As you saw last week, world number one, Rory McIlroy, taking his spot back and winning the CJ Cup. But the next 2 weeks, you're really going to see some of the younger guys. You know, not all of them younger, but the guys that just received their PGA Tour cards from the Korn Ferry Tour. These next 2 weeks are when they get to have a chance to solidify their status for, you know, the next 6 months, because, you know, with some of these adjustments that the PGA Tour made, they upped the purses. The Arnold Palmer, they're playing for $20 million. Memorial, they're playing for $20 million. Century Tournament of Champions, $15 million. You know, this fall series is going to be the time when guys are trying to acquire status to get into those events. So we'll keep you updated from there. On the other side, we're gonna have Tim Schmidt on, the managing editor for Golf Week. We're gonna get a feel for what's going on around the tour from him. You know, Phil Mickelson had some comments about the PGA Tour trending downwards and the LIV Tour trending upwards. And, you know, that he felt like he was on the correct side of the sport, you know, at the moment. He said that a couple weeks ago at LIV Jeddah. And then you heard John Rahm and Rory McIlroy respond to those comments at the CJ Cup. John Rahm said he had no clue what Phil was talking about, and you know, Rory McIlroy clearly shut Phil up by winning the CJ Cup and becoming the new world number one. And Rory said, "I understand why he said it, because he's the position that he's in, but I don't think anyone that takes a logical view of the game of golf can agree with what he said." And he continued by saying, "I guess for them to be talking the way they are, it's bold. I think there's a ton of propaganda being used and all sorts of stuff. I certainly don't see the PGA Tour trending downward at all. All of the talent, 95% of the talent. You've got people like Tom Kim coming through, who is the future of the game." And, you know, Rory, excellent point, well said. You know, I could get into the ratings, I could get into the difference of the two products, and we're going to do that all on the other side with Tim Schmidt right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference, back after this.
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. We're going to head over to the Progressive guest line and welcome in managing editor of Golf Week, our good friend Tim Schmidt, to get a better feel of what's going on in the world of golf. Tim, welcome in. How are things in your world?
Excellent. Always good to talk to you guys. I'm going to sound so pretentious. If it's loud here, I'm sitting on the beach in Florida.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, what a rough life it is for us media types.
Incredible. Well, hey, the sound is great. You're everything's crystal clear. Tim, we have to start with Rory, you know, returning to world number one in a year, you know, where, you know, he's not only had to turn his game around after an embarrassing Ryder Cup in 2021, but he's also had to assume the role as a major voice of the PGA Tour. There's no way it's easy to manage both. What have been a few of your thoughts on Rory's return to the top?
Well, I'm not sure if you guys heard the story, but he basically pinpointed his low point on his route back to number one as the Valero Texas Open earlier this year, he, you know, was one of the heavy favorites to win that tournament, hadn't played in San Antonio for years, came in and really just didn't look the part, and ended up missing the cut. And the way that Rory tells it, he was sitting in his hotel room, expected that he would get out of there on Friday night after missing the cut. And unfortunately, what happened was he missed his transportation. If you've been up to TPC San Antonio, it's a little bit north of the city. It's not right downtown or anything. And so he said, you know what? I'm just going to get some room service, go up to my bed and hang out and relax. And because there was the 100th Valero Open banquet with Ben Crenshaw and a whole bunch of folks, Lee Trevino and others, he couldn't get a meal. They said it was going to be 2.5 hours to get a meal. So he's sitting in his room, lonely, upset, and hungry. And he says that was the motivation to turn things around, that he had just hit rock bottom and he didn't want to ever feel in that place again. Interesting that it was Central Texas where it happened, but since then, let's face it, the guy has played lights out. He's been solid almost week in and week out. And like you said, carrying, you know, the tour on his shoulders, really, between Tiger and Rory, I mean, if this tour is to be completely saved over time, those two will end up being, you know, just monumental figures in the whole kind of resurrection of the thing as Liv surrounds it and as the flames kind of keep, you know, kind of flaming up just a little bit around and around the PGA Tour. Those are the two guys who have really stepped up to try and save this thing.
You know, and Tim, you've heard the jingle. Some have said Rory has, you know, tapped into a different level of his game with the threat of the LIV Tour looming. I personally think, you know, the golf ball change before the Masters and the addition of Brad Faxton, Bob Rotella to his game have had a bit of a bigger impact on his success rather than, you know, the LIV threat. What would you say on that?
Well, and I mean, settling into a different lifestyle, too. Remember, this is a guy who, when he was on top before, was free and easy, didn't have a family, didn't have a kiddo. I think he needed to sort out how to do things like this and make hard decisions like changing a golf ball, looking at different strategies on the golf course, where before he had all the time in the world. Now it becomes a very different world when you get multiple things going on. And you could see that in Jordan Spieth and others as well. I think he's clearly now, however, and you know, moving forward, I'd be surprised if Rory doesn't. I mean, he may not maintain this kind of torrid pace that he's on, but I would be expecting that we're going to hit some pretty golden years here for the foreseeable future with Rory McIlroy.
I'm looking forward to that. Once again, we're chatting with managing editor of Golf Week, Tim Schmidt. Tim, I was shocked to read yesterday on Golf Week a piece by the great Adam Shupak that detailed how Bryson DeChambeau and Bubba Watson have yet to be paid the second half of their bonus money from last year's Player Impact Program. It's very interesting to hear about a professional sports organization not paying athletes for what they have earned, you know, regardless of a switch to a different tour. I find that to be shocking and a bit unprofessional. Do you think Bryson sees the $1.75 million that he's owed, and do you think Bubba receives the $1.5 million that he is owed?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, so the reason I'm here in Florida, and just a quick backstory, Adam Shupak, suffered a he went through a car accident last year when he was driving from the PGA Championship to Colonial for the Charles Schwab. And then our other PGA Tour reporter, Steve DiMeglio, is fighting cancer. So the two of them are here in Florida, and that's why I came, was to hang out with the two of them as they're recovering. So I happened to have lunch with both of them yesterday, just after Adam had written that story. And that was the entire lunch. That's all we talked about the entire lunch, the three of us, was that piece and really how this comes off as a bad look for everyone. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau calling people childish is a stretch right there. But then the PGA Tour begrudging players, I mean, we actually joked yesterday, Bubba Watson comes off looking like the elder statesman, you know, saying, well, you know, I'm going to make it. I've got plenty of food on my table. I'm just surprised that the tour would do this to us. And this just comes off as a bad look for almost everybody involved. The tour for trying to kind of hold, and, you know, not only do they not give these folks the pit money that they were promised, but then they don't allow them to fulfill the obligations to be able to say that they can get that pit money. But then the Brysons of the world, who, you know, signed for $125 million for LIV Golf, saying, you know, boy, this is childish of the tour, as he's clearly in a stratosphere financially that the rest of us would kill for. So it just comes off as poor for everyone. And I hope that, as Rory has said, again, I'll go back to Rory, who has really become the beacon through all this. You know, look, he doesn't like LIV Golf. It's clear he doesn't like LIV Golf. But they've got to figure out a way to coexist, whether that's Jay Monahan and Greg Norman putting on, you know, boxing gloves and punching it out one day for an hour. But something has to play where these guys figure out at the end of it, look, we're all in this golf world together. We're different facets of the game right now. And LIV Golf has added a whole bunch of fun aspects to it. The trash talk and the team camaraderie and some of these pieces has been fun. So how do we make sure that we're not, you know, torching the whole thing just because we're angry at the other side?
Yeah, and, you know, we heard, Tim, we heard Phil say that he looks forward to this offseason and possibly some more communication between him and guys like Rory. So hopefully, you know, here over the next 3 months, that bridge can be, you know, gapped a little bit.
Well, and Phil... Phil's an interesting case in his own, because think about it. I mean, this is a guy that a year and a half ago we're talking about how many events on the Champions Tour he's going to play, and now we're talking about him in the middle of conversations like battling against Cameron Smith in a LIV Golf team competition. So as much as he's taken a beating in this whole thing, I think he also has come to relish the fact that he's still very relevant right now. And so... using that stature, whether it's, you know, a positive or negative thing, I have a feeling he's going to be more involved in discussions further out, and it can only help. I mean, his image has hit rock bottom. Let's face it. He can only help himself by trying to foster conversations and moving things further in the future, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him do so. Let's face it. We all love a good comeback story, and still hit the bottom. Don't be surprised if in the next year or two he becomes one of the folks who kind of helps make things smoother with both sides.
And this is managing editor of Golf Week, Tim Schmidt. Tim, the Bermuda Championship, you know, it's we're coming off two great weeks from, you know, the Zozo Championship and the CJ Cup. You know, the Bermuda Championship has been, you know, called a bit of a diluted field after all the stars, you know, were playing last week. They're on break now. Personally, I've loved a few of the stories that have come out of Port Royal. You have Monday qualifier and PGA Tour winner Aaron Baddeley in the mix after starting 65-64. Austin Smotherman is a second-year PGA Tour member who would not have retained his card without LIV Golf. Adam Shank, you know, near the top of the leaderboard after leaving home without his clubs. It's a great mix of headlines. Arjun Atwal is a great story. What has stood out to you as far as the Bermuda Championship is concerned?
Well, Ben Crane's a fun one. I will tell you, when we look at the field, and unfortunately for the tour, this is where it does become, I think, a very dicey situation. So, for example, you and I appreciate every storyline that you just threw out there and more. I think the mass appeal for average golf fans isn't quite there for some of those things. And so, for example, our biggest story, or one of our biggest stories that we do each week, is basically a who missed the cut list. And, you know, often it's big names that, you know, we throw at the top. You're surprised that Scottie Scheffler missed it, or Jordan Spieth, or whomever. And this week, the number one name we came up with was John Daly, because there wasn't anybody else in the field that you really knew about. So the problem with the tour on these types of events is that, you know, they expose themselves to being vulnerable to live golf. Now, if you dig a little bit deeper, Ben Crane, Aaron Baddeley, some of these storylines are just so fun, I think, and I'm looking forward to watching each day, as I am with the Houston Open in 2 weeks, which I can't wait to see. However, again, like you said, the diluted field, there are a ton of storylines. If you do a little bit of digging, I just hope the average fan does so.
Yeah, no, and you know, I've been keeping tags on, you know, Caleb Surratt from the University of Tennessee with some of this news about what the PGA Tour is going to do with college golfers moving forward. You know, what are your thoughts on the potential changes to PGA Tour U that would possibly, it's not approved yet, as you know, that would possibly see the number one senior earn full status on the PGA Tour?
I mean, they have to do something dramatic, right? The way that the PGA Tour U came out with full guns a-blazing a couple years ago. Every player wanted to be part of this, and now in the past few years, instead, they've often opted to go either back to college or to live or to play in the Korn Ferry Tour or to do other things. But this is a bold move by the tour. If this goes through, having the top senior, you know, you look at someone like Andy Oglethorpe, who now is went from college golf to live and is now going to have to try and make his way on the Asian tour or other means, because basically he was one of the cuts from live when they added new players. These are the kind of guys who are, you know, they're looking for a clearer path into the PGA Tour. And something like this would make college golf, I mean, for us, we love it. I think that Golf Week is one of the leaders in terms of college golf coverage. We have the Golf Week Sagarin rankings, which are basically the industry standard. So I love the attention on college golf and what that would bring. I will also say, if they don't do something drastic, it's getting to that point where things are so fractured that, you know, they're going to start losing more and more players. People are going to start leaving early and going to various places. And the Live Golf thing was just an interesting side note. Losing a couple of guys from college to Live was definitely not something PGA Tour U expected to lose when they first put that whole thing into motion.
Yeah, I just have to think, Tim, that some of these top-ranked college players have seen the year that Eugenio Chikara has had, you know, a win, and, you know, has he played? He's played three events, I believe, so far in total, and you know, he's made $6 million. So, you know, this process, these changes, maybe they need to be accelerated a little bit more. Tim, last question. I wanted to circle back to Rory one last thing. I was surprised to hear that he felt a sense of betrayal when some of the veteran European Ryder Cup members went to live. You know, to me in sports, what does betrayal feel like? It's Johnny Damon leaving the Red Sox for the Yankees. It's Adam Vinatieri leaving the Patriots to go to the Colts. Were you surprised to hear that tone from Rory at this point?
Well, that's what makes Rory so interesting, though, right? I mean, with Bryson, or with even Brooks Koepka, let's use Brooks Koepka as an example. I mean, he was someone who kind of stayed at arm's length with the Live Golf conversations at first, because that, you know, then he dropped the famous eyeballs tweet, and then soon after, all of a sudden, things come out that he was thinking about jumping. These guys are very much in it for themselves, and understandably so. It's a business, just like you said, NFL, Major League Baseball. These guys are in it for a contract. They're in it for business decisions at the end of the day. We as hardcore fans are different, you know? I'm from Buffalo. Every Buffalo Bills player means something to me because that's what I grew up watching. That's what I grew up remembering and thinking about. I still watch every game, but I've been in the locker room as an NFL beat writer. Those guys, when the game's over, they're thinking about their next contract, their next meal, they're moving on. Yes, they give their heart and soul, but it's a business. With Rory, it's different. It really is, and it comes across when you talk to him. That's why he's one of the best quotes in the game. That's why he's so thoughtful about what he says. That's why something like this actually hurts him emotionally, and that's what makes him so unique, because not only is he that guy, but he is also the best player in the world right now. And that's an interesting mix that doesn't happen very often. When Tiger Woods was the number one player in the world, for all of his amazing qualities, being compassionate and worrying about others was not one. And now it is, but it wasn't then. And the fact that he can kind of sense in the moment kind of the perspective to see his impact on the game, what this means, and how it actually hurts him inside to see players betraying, you know, the European Ryder Cup side, that really says a lot about his character and why he's a totally different bird than most of the folks on the tour.
That is Tim Schmidt, managing editor of Golf Week. Tim, we're going to let you go. We appreciate your work so much, and keep doing an excellent job with Golf Week. I'm tuned in every day. I know the listeners are as well, so we appreciate it.
Can I get back to the beach now, Will?
Get back to the beach. Enjoy your time off, Tim. Hey, and go Bills. 5-1 leading the AFC East. Unbelievable work from Josh Allen.
We'll take it. Although the Jets are still nipping at our heels, which I hate to see.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy the time off. We'll talk soon, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye, Will.
Bye-bye. When we come back, a pick for the Bermuda Championship and a few more other comments that Phil Mickelson gave in response to Rory McIlroy becoming world number one. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, just continuing here, wrapping up on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Continuing on the Phil's comments, you know, taking back what he said that LIV has the momentum over the PGA Tour. You know, that doesn't happen without world number one, Rory McIlroy, and world number five, John Rahm. In a duel down the stretch on Sunday. If Kurt Kitayama wins, he doesn't take back his comments. Okay, hey, I'm taking Aaron Baddeley at, amazing, 16-1. He's a four-time PGA Tour winner. He's my pick for this weekend. Hey, have a good weekend, everyone. Thanks, John Belmer, behind the ones and twos. We're out of here.